This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo, and we're talking about the upcoming legislative session that begins this coming Tuesday. I'm joined by State Senator Mark Moores, State Representative Christine Trujillo, and journalist Steve Terrell of the Santa Fe New Mexican. So welcome to all of you, and now we are without our music bed. It might be a little bit easier to concentrate. So, Senator Moores, tell us about the process in the Senate, please, once you have these two budgets.
Thank you. The process is actually very similar as it is in the House. However, the budget bill does start in the House and then moves over to the Senate as the time goes on. But the Legislative Finance Council Committee works very closely with the House as it moves forward. And as you mentioned at the beginning, I think our budgets aren't that far off this year, which is a nice surprise after the last 5 to 7 years with the economy the way it was. We're getting out of the economy starting to pick up, tax revenues starting to pick up. Thank goodness for oil and gas over the last few years. It has skyrocketed and really allowed us to not cut back state government services as much as other states had to over the last few years. And so I think our budgets aren't that far apart. There is some talk about how we target some of the pay raises, but it's nice to be able to talk about pay raises. We're talking about how we're going to target some funding into education, to use some financial terms. We call it above the line and below the line, which is just a fancy term for are we targeting it or are we putting it into the big pot of money that we send to the school districts. But again, it's nice to be talking about how we're going to be spending new money on some of these programs instead of talk about cuts. So I think we aren't that far apart. There are some fundamental philosophical differences in the budget. But when you look at the big picture, big numbers, I think we're close enough and we'll be able to work out compromises and get a good budget for the people of New Mexico here.
Steve Terrell, one of the things that the government shutdown highlighted here in New Mexico was how dependent we are on federal dollars and federal jobs. When you look at the budget, do you see anything that sort of springs from that realization?
Well, I think all sides agree that we need to become less dependent on the federal government because we can't depend on them anymore. This in the budget itself, I don't see that much, but the overall just trying to have incentives for businesses to, as they say, grow the economy. I hate metaphors like that, but try to get the economy going. It's not just so based on federal government contracts.
Okay. Now, we've already had an email come in, and so we're going to move away from budget issues unless anybody wants to revisit later on. But these are the things the listeners are concerned about. Richard says, rather than debating banning guns, which I oppose, that's Richard, wouldn't we be better served by discussing the obvious, making adults that own guns like myself, that means Richard, responsible to make reasonable efforts to secure their guns? Both this and the recent Griego shooting would not have happened if the weapons were secure. So let's jump right in, because I've already seen a bill, House Bill 44, which is basically House Bill 77 from last year, Representative Miguel Garcia's bill requiring background checks at gun shows, come through. Are we going to be discussing this? Does it fall within one of the categories constitutionally that legislators can discuss? Let's start with you, Representative Trujillo.
It is going to be a big topic of discussion. I've gotten a lot of emails, both pro and con, about the bill. And I think it is, although I think it's not the most important bill in the session, it's significantly important because it raises the hackles of gun owners when they feel that there are restrictions to their ownership. Clearly, I'm not a proponent of guns, and I do support Representative Garcia's bill. So I think that it's going to be a controversial bill.
Yes, Steve?
For one thing, the terminology used in the email, it's not banning guns. It's a bill that Governor Martinez supported last session that requires registration at gun shows, basically. And it got some Republican support in the House last time. and the governor is for it. I'm not sure, though, it's going to be ruled. I'm not sure the governor will send a special message on it this time. It might not be discussed in this session.
Did it pass the House?
Yes,
it did. And then it died in the Senate. It was one of those at the last minute?
Kathleen, that's right. And it didn't get through at the end of the legislative session last year. And I think Steve is correct. It's not necessarily constitutionally germane to this issue. It will be a very controversial issue, as gun issues always are. And I think that during the 30-day session, I'm not sure it will be debated this time. But I'm sure we will be talking about guns issues. School safety, I think, obviously will be a primary thing we address on. I actually opposed House Bill 44. I think we have a lot of opportunities over the next year and a few years to look at school security issues. I think in Albuquerque, Christine might agree with me, does a very good job with school security, or a better job than most. My wife is a teacher and an administrator here in Albuquerque Public Schools. And getting into that campus is very tough, and my daughter goes to that same campus, so it makes me feel very secure when they're there. But I'm not sure that's the case around the state, especially in rural parts of the state. And I think we really need to take a look at that, making sure the schools have the system in place. I think we all were proud of that teacher who was properly trained and was able to step in and prevent further tragedy down in Roswell. So I think we need to make sure we're looking at what they did right, what they did wrong, and making sure we learn our lessons for the future of New Mexico schools.
You know, when I looked at the Roswell situation, the tragedy that happened the other day, one thing that stuck out at me was that he brought a shotgun to school rather than an automatic weapon. And so
I think that even with the most significant amount of training, first of all, educators aren't in that kind of realm of thinking, you know. So a child, 12 years old, who walks into a building and is carrying a rifle, of course it was early in the morning, they were in the cafeteria. You don't frisk all the kids. You don't. If he had it, and I don't know what the circumstances were, but the reality is that there's an assumption that kids come in good faith to learn and that no one's carrying a deadly weapon. The reality is that I agree with Senator Moores, the prep time that the school took to make sure kids were safe in a quick fashion was critical. But the issue for me is the preventive programs that I think we don't fund well enough, that we're focusing on the true important academic things, but people forget that public schools are the main focus of a child's day for 8 hours. It's not 6.5 hours, it's 8 hours, and even sometimes more. So you have to have those entities with people that are counselors and nurses and all those folks available to try to talk to kids like that child who was having problems.
I want to let listeners know we're talking today about our upcoming legislative session beginning next Tuesday, January 21st. I'm joined today by Representative Christine Trujillo, by Steve Terrell of the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and State Senator Mark Moores. If you would like to join in our discussion, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Call In Show webpage at kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Tell us, what are your hopes for this upcoming legislative session? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with calls and emails and our guests.
Be inspired by the symphony, Bruckner's Symphony No. 4, The Romantic, and Mozart's Exultate Jubilate, soprano Rachel Hall, Sunday, January 19th, 4 p.m., The Lensic, with 2013 Schulte Conducting Award-winning conductor James Fedick. With a soaring finale, the Fourth Symphony evokes the age of chivalry, kings, and knights. Sunday, January 19th, 4 p.m., The Lensic. For information, call 983-1414. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Symphony.
This week on This American Life.
Hello.
A man makes a request that goes against both company policy and human nature.
You know the music you have, the holding music, when you put me on hold, it plays it. Could you do that for me for a minute?
Loving the music on hold. No kidding. and other stories of being stuck this week.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we are talking about the upcoming legislative session. I'm joined by Representative Christine Trujillo, State Senator Mark Morse, and Steve Terrell of the Santa Fe New Mexican. And let's go ahead and bring in our first caller today. It's David from Santa Fe. Good morning, David.
Yeah, good morning. And I've Steve Terrell, coincidentally, sitting there. I've spoken to him face-to-face on this several times. He may or may not recall. But recent news, you're all familiar with the Department of Justice investigation into APD. The Department of Justice has also launched a civil rights violation investigation into family and children's courts nationwide, including cases here in New Mexico. And that's based on, like I said, civil rights violations by the family and children's courts.
All right, David, let me ask you, is this a question concerning the upcoming legislative session?
Yes, it is.
Okay, would you get to that question then, please?
Oh, okay, I'm just trying to give you background so you can understand what the question is, because without the background, you can't really understand the importance.
All right, well, go ahead and just get to the question, and our guests will ask for background.
Legislators, and I'll see you at the Capitol this year, as every year, what are you going to do to tighten up your New Mexico Children's Code to close up the loopholes that judges are using to violate civil rights of parents and children? And I'll stay on the line so you can ask me questions to clarify, since you may not be familiar as you should be.
Okay, let's David, thanks so much for your call. Is there any response, Senator Morse?
Thank you, David. Actually, I'd be happy to sit down with you. I was just elected last year, so I'm not up to speed as much as you have just mentioned. And so I'd be happy to talk with you on these issues. Obviously, we can't get involved if there's current federal investigations in this, and we'll have to see how that comes out and what kind of recommendations might come out of those investigations.
Okay,
David, thanks so much for your call this morning, David. Let's go ahead and move on here. So let's talk of things that you said, Representative Trujillo, that you don't consider the gun issue the most important issue. What do you consider the most important issue?
Clearly public education for me. That's my background. But it's been an issue for years. I feel like we've always underfunded public education. The stats are showing that there's more money being placed into education right now. But the reality is that the needs are great. And I have a real strong concern with the merit pay proposals or the targeted issue of payment that Senator Morse was referring to.
Now, let me ask you this. Will education issues come in under the budget?
House Bill 3.
Oh, okay. So no, we don't need a special message from the governor about education, or there were some vetoed bills that could come in under that
correct
condition as well?
But
yes.
The governor can message bills that she actually wants to promote.
And you're anticipating education might be?
I think education will be, as Representative Trujillo mentioned, is always a priority of state government. It's the biggest funded part of state government, and really what we do the most of is fund education, be higher end K through 12. It's the biggest service we provide as a state.
Well, in addition to the funding, I mean, we devoted a program to education issues here on KUNM, and the things that were of concern were teacher evaluations and assessments, and I'm assuming that once that door is open, those might come in as well. Steve Terrell, what are you expecting to see with regard to education?
Well, I think that Senator Morse is right. It's going to be a big issue, and Representative Trujillo, I think it's going to be probably the biggest issue in this session. And there's clear philosophical differences. I'm sitting right in the middle of these two legislators on either side of me, and I'm prepared to referee. But it's gonna be a major issue. They don't need a message from the governor, and even if they did, I'm sure the governor would give messages to educational issues.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say outside of what you mentioned, teacher evaluations and those things, the below the line, above the line funding is a huge concern because although Senator Morse states that it'll be targeted funding, what we have been seeing in the past since we have given the benefit of the doubt to the PED, what they are doing is asking school districts to compete with each other for the money that they're supposed to already be receiving under the equalization formula. And that's a very, very big issue for school districts. And we would like to keep it those decisions made by school districts rather than the PED.
All right. Well, I think your legislators, you're going to see lots of parents up there, lots of teachers up there with regard to the education issues. Senator Morse, how does the what you see from constituents impact your debate and your votes regarding education issues?
Kathleen, I don't see parents and teachers up there. I see them every night at my home.
Okay. Now,
we have a daughter who's a junior in high school, and my wife is a teacher and now an athletic director at a high school. So I get an earful on all these issues all the time. So that's my number one constituency right there. And so I do have a perspective of that, and I think there is some philosophical differences about targeting programs and making sure that they're effective and tracking those programs instead of just following the status quo we've had in New Mexico for so long and just continuously add money into the pot of education. We have grown that pot, and again, it is the primary reason state government exists is to provide education. It's our number one budgeted item, and we keep on growing that pot. And we have seen some improvements in some areas and not in other areas. And I think we really need to be able to target the areas that work. And that is the philosophical argument between above the line and below the line. And I know we get into the minutia of state government politics, but I think what we want to see on the Republican side is more targeted programs that actually work. And we believe, as Republicans do, in competition. We want school districts competing and coming up with new ideas and being that generator of innovative ideas instead of just everyone being across the board the same. It's not the case in New Mexico. Zuni School District is not the same as how you teach kids in Logan. So we want to see that competition and be different programs to be developed so we can actually improve these schools in New Mexico.
Doesn't the Common Core curriculum
standardize
throughout the state? So how can there be, I mean, I hear teachers say, I have to be so wedded to these standards and requirements. So how can they innovate? What's possible?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm really fascinated that the Republican Party that the Republican Party likes to see the schools compete, and yet the very big issues for public schools are the standardization of testing, the standardization of a curriculum, and so on. And I think that that is very, very hypocritical viewpoint in terms of what's going on in the public schools. The issue is, do you want, you know, the way the schools, public schools are set up, I don't think that it's supposed to be competitive in terms of the funding. I think the program should be competitive to a certain degree, but they all should have equal access to funding. And the way it's being set up now under the PED, these school districts are having to compete for funding that the state is obligated to give them.
And I think that's the, first off, the standardization is, remember, this is coming down from Washington, which is the Democratic administration, and I don't approve of that either. I think these school districts do have to have an opportunity. We have to standardize what the results are and what we expect out of our kids graduating from schools. But I am a strong believer that in many farms, that school district is different than it is in Albuquerque, and they have to have the ability to. But the product that they're educating, we are spending a lot of money in New Mexico educating our children, but we're not getting a lot of good results sometimes, and that's showing on our surveys nationally. And so that's where we need some innovation, and that's where we need the difference. And I think those school districts and those kids do need that flexibility. But what is produced is absolutely what's something that we have to be able to set standards for. And so that's where really, I believe, is where we need to go in New Mexico and as a nation, because we do have a lot of challenges here in New Mexico. Washington is always, be it Republican or Democrat administration, Washington has been telling us how to do things. And that's not right, because in New Mexico we have different needs.
This is a window into the debate. Steve, did you want to add something to the debate?
Well, no, I think these two legislators are very eloquent and represented their positions here, and this is what we're going to hear during the session. Now, this is see, these are some of the basic questions that are I don't know if they're going to be answered during the session, but they'll have to come up with something for the next year.
Well, and you know, certainly there's been a lot of great debate up there and an airing of viewpoints. And it's interesting, you're a retired educator, you have an educator wife, and yet the viewpoints are so different. Hopefully there's some common ground that can be found. I know our listeners wish for that. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Bill from Los Lunas. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Kathleen. Two quick comments real quick. The shooter in Roswell, the parents were negligent in securing that weapon. That became child endangerment, including their own child. That's also child abuse. And they were saying, the police officers, that no charges will be brought against the parents. That's totally wrong. The reporters should check on this. My second comment is, since the state of New Mexico receives 20% of royalties from oil and gas, why cannot we reverse the role and the state of New Mexico receive 80% that now the companies are getting, and the companies get 20%, and the employees, the roughnecks, should become state employees? Thank you. Enjoy your day.
All right, Bill, thank you for your call. Steve, you want to respond to what Bill had to say?
Well, I don't think we're going to see 80% royalties ever pass the legislature.
Go ahead, Senator Morse.
I'm not sure. I think he was talking about nationalizing the oil industry like they've done in some
Mexico other places.
And, well,
yeah.
Mexico is moving away from nationalization and Venezuela. I'm not sure. We're looking at that here in New Mexico.
Okay.
And Senator Morse, doesn't that fall into the Republican process of standardization? I'm kidding.
lots of exchange glances here. Senator Morse, let's stay with you.
As Steve said, we need to grow the economy.
So we've already heard from Representative Trujillo. She thinks that education issues are the most important thing that will be happening up there at the Capitol. How about you? What's most important for you? Education as well?
No, without question. I think we're going to have a lot of these debates in Santa Fe, and they're good debates to have. That we have some philosophical differences, but I think in the end of the day, we all believe we want good schools. How we get there and what the resources we have is the challenge. And obviously, to use what Steve was talking about earlier, growing the economy is definitely a huge issue here in New Mexico. We cannot rely on the federal government as we have in the last few generations. That money is drying up. Our tax structure in New Mexico is Byzantine at best and unbusiness-friendly. And we have to take a look at that and move forward, because we have stifled small business development and small business growth in the state because of our tax structure has been designed to take advantage of federal spending in New Mexico for the last 50 years. And those days are over. We're not going to have feds just sending us money every time we ask from now on. And we got to be able to actually change our tax structure, change our tax code here in New Mexico so it makes it more business friendly. So that way we actually have economic development, so we have money to pay for schools and all the other programs.
So what specifically might we see with regard to job creation or job stimulation?
I think last year with the tax reform bill was a good first step that made us more in par with our sister states in the region.
In what way?
Especially in the tax, corporate tax structure. It's still a lot higher, but at least it's not a way out of line with our sister states in the state. We did a lot of good work with the tax or TV tax program and the Breaking Bad bill, as we called it last year, to help the film and movie industry in New Mexico. That's been a really good economic driver for our state in the last number of years. And I think with the tax bill we did last year, we'll help that also.
Representative Trujillo.
I had issues with that tax bill, but I do understand what Senator Morse is talking about. I think we need revenue generators, job creation, and we need to hire in-state. I think the oil and gas industry has done an incredible job trying to keep revenue flowing into the state. My concern is, again, are they hiring people that are in-state? Is that money being spent in the local communities? I have concerns about some of the TID bills that are coming up.
TID being?
Tax Incentive Development Districts.
Okay.
And, again, you know, a lot of we need construction jobs. We need retail jobs. And all those things are incredibly important, because when you get that money moving, people purchase, and that in, that creates good revenue. The reality for me is that if we're giving certain companies in tax incentives and then they're bringing in out-of-state employees or they're doing other things that are not helpful to the community, then it then we're not helping ourselves.
Steve Terrell, we had a program last week with other journalists, and one of them said, hey, if we don't handle water issues in the state, all of this is irrelevant. No one's going to want to come here to invest here, stay here. How are they connected, water and business development and jobs and economy? What might we see?
Well, one thing we're going to see in the realm of water is the governor's suggesting, I think it's 60% of capital outlay money go to water infrastructure. What's another word I hate? But water infrastructure projects.
What do they do, though? They stop leaks? Because obviously we can't create water. But so what do infrastructure projects do?
Basically delivery of water. And you guys may know a little bit more about it.
Absolutely.
But that's basically what it is, water systems for communities and not just stopping leaks, but probably some of that too.
Well, we heard that from Rio Rancho. Go ahead.
Absolutely. We have a number of communities in the rural nature of New Mexico. We have a lot of communities that don't have water systems or don't have reliable sources of water. There were a couple communities.
Magdalena ran out, right?
Exactly. So there was a couple communities this summer that actually ran out of water. And that's what I think we need to take a look at is these infrastructure programs that Steve talked about, is how we provide one of the basics non-Republican, non-Democrat services to people in New Mexico, and that is how we provide water. And I think we need to look at some of this, these programs out there, actually piping and making sure their wells are just basically deep enough and they have water to provide to the residents and they're not running out in the middle of the summer.
And is there
I was just going to add, I think you're right. The dilemma is trying to get 60% of the capital outlay money from legislators' hands to go directly to that, because that's the pork that we bring to our let's call it as it is. It's pork that we bring into our local communities, and I don't see a whole lot of people that are going to want to give up their capital outlay money for that specific thing, at least at that amount.
Is there a sense among, I say legislators, obviously you can't speak for everyone, that water is that important?
Yes, I do think that it is very important. It's not at the level of education, but it's discussion that's going on.
But it's not more important than making sure the pork gets handed out? Is that what you're saying?
Truly, you know, I know I bring an issue up that makes people cringe, but the reality is that you're there representing your district, and you get a certain allotment of money to help your local community provide infrastructure, whether it's lighting for schools or paving your streets or doing something that helps create a better living condition for those constituents in your community. And when the governor asks for that huge amount of money to go directly to water, which I think is important, it still stings.
You know, we're going to be going into a short break, but before we do, there's an email question that came in, and I'd like to get your brief, very brief, maybe one-word answer to this, given that we're talking about these issues. Alan asks via email, given the big challenges facing the state, is it time to have a full-time legislature? Senator Morse?
No.
Steve Terrell?
I think it's something that should be considered. I doubt if it gets considered this session.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've got the panoply of answers there. We're talking today about the upcoming legislative session beginning next Tuesday, January 21st. If you would like to join in our discussion, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. What would you like to see the legislature accomplish during this session? We'll be back with you in a minute.
The Los Alamos Concert Association presents cellist Joshua Roman in his New Mexico debut on Friday, January 24th. An artist of extraordinary musical and technical gifts, Roman will perform works by Stravinsky, Prokofiev, Schumann, and Beethoven. The concert begins at 7 p.m. in the Smith Auditorium on the campus of Los Alamos High School. Artist menu and ticket information at losalamosconcert.org. A message from the tax-exempt Los Alamos Concert Association.
As a boy, this man hated math, but he wanted to know how the universe worked, so his teacher opened a book.
And in that book, I saw these formulas and diagrams. It was clear that it contained this coherent theory which explained everything. And then this mathematician said to me, "You think what you study at school is math? No, this is real math."
But some suggest we should do away with math class. Math's days are numbered on the next Big Picture Science.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and we're talking today about the upcoming legislative session. I'm joined by Santa Fe, New Mexican reporter Steve Terrell, State Representative Christine Trujillo, and State Senator Mark Morris. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for being here today. We've moved on from the budget, but let's go ahead. We did have one emailed question from Ellen. It seems to be specific, so let's see if someone has the answer. Ellen emails, "No one seems to be mentioning the retroactive pay raises that the Supreme Court required the state to pay in a ruling last year. Is there a bill that addresses these raises, which were illegally denied to state employees 5 to 6 years ago?" You're shaking your head, Representative Trujillo. Go ahead.
I recall that it was the money that was supposed to have been paid in pay raises, and it was diverted to something else, I think, if that. And then it was, there was a lawsuit. No one's discussing it. It's because so many things happen so often. There really isn't a whole lot of discussion about that going on.
Actually, Governor Martinez said it's part of her budget, and I believe it's part of the LFC budget, too.
I believe it was included in the budget. So we can look into that and make sure, but I thought it was included
in
the budget.
I'm talking. I know that they have it's the lawsuit, AFSCME lawsuit is what it was.
Right.
That has been discussed, and it is, I think, like $20 million that they have to deal with in retroactive pay, and that has been discussed, but in the committee, it's not a big topic. If I guess I misunderstood the question, it's not a big topic that everybody's buzzing about.
It's a bill that we have to pay. The Supreme Court told us we had to pay it, so we got to find the money to pay it. And I believe it is in the budgets for this coming year.
Just like the
MOE.
But
it's not going to cause any strife or partisan argument because it's something that we were told we had to pay, and the bills come due,
right,
and we'll be paying it.
All right, Ellen, I hope that answers your question. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It is Ben. He is the State Director of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or MADD. Good morning, Ben. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the time. I'm just curious to hear what the lawmakers think we'll see this short session as far as curbing DWI crashes, fatalities and injuries, and preventing underage drinking and drug use.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling, Ben. Anybody want to talk about that? Senator Morse.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you and all the work that MADD does. You guys have done a great job. And I believe MADD has been an integral part of moving the needle in DWIs in New Mexico. We still have a long way to go, but compared to where we were 10, 15 years ago, we're doing a lot better. And MADD has a lot to do with that in the last couple of years. Ben, I haven't heard anything particularly that is going to be addressed this session. Of course, I ran a bill last year that would have been a vehicle forfeiture law for folks caught under DWI. We weren't able to get that through the session. We will be working on that this next year and try to reintroduce that during the 60-day session. And it's something I believe we need to do, but we have some constitutional issues that we need to take a look at after the ruling here in about Albuquerque's program. But I think I would like to have local jurisdictions around the state to have that ability for us to be able to do that, because I do think that's an effective tool in the arsenal that we have to fight DWI.
Representative Trujillo.
I'm not as savvy about it as Senator Moore's, and I haven't seen a whole lot of information in the pre-file legislation regarding DWI. But I do think that it is an important issue, and if we don't deal with it in the 30-day, I know there will be a lot of information and a lot of activity in the 60.
Steve?
This doesn't deal with alcohol, but there is a bill by Senator Peter Wirth to prohibit texting while driving, which is another form of distracted driving. And last year it made it through Senate committees but died on the Senate floor. Senate Majority Leader Michael Sanchez doesn't like the bill. He's told me that straight. And
has he told you why he doesn't like it?
He thinks that adding – he doesn't like the idea of adding penalties, criminal penalties.
Criminal defense
yeah.
lawyer.
Yeah. He doesn't like adding criminal penalties, and he's very upfront about that. And it passed Senate committees, and it was on the Senate calendar for I forget how many weeks. But so I'm not sure if it'll get through. Governor Martinez has expressed support for the idea, but I'm not sure she's going to send a message on it this session.
We're talking today about the upcoming legislative session. If you'd like to join in our discussion, you may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org, or you may call our local number. We'd be happy to have you join our discussion. Our local number is 277-5866. You may call our toll-free number as well. It's 1-877-899-5866. So at the end of June, 15 New Mexico Behavioral Health Services had their Medicaid funding frozen by the state's Human Services Department due to, quote, credible allegations of fraud, unquote. And the LFC, the Legislative Finance Committee, released a highly critical report about this these actions on December 11th. Is there going to be any legislation introduced that addresses this issue, or can it be, unless we get a message?
I've only heard rumors about the issue itself. I haven't heard about any legislation being dropped.
In the House, we're able to pre-file legislation, and Senator Papin from Las Cruces has actually just recently filed some bills. I haven't had a chance to read them yet, but mm-hmm. I know she's very interested in it. She has a grandson who's faced mental health issues, and she's very passionate about this issue. So I do expect that to be a topic of conversation over the next 30 days.
How will it come in? Under what category? Something the governor messages about, or
well, there's all,
vetoed?
If in the legislature, if it has an appropriation attached to it, it's considered a budget bill. So if it has to deal with revenue or an appropriation, a tax, or a spending of taxpayers' money, it is germane to the legislative session, and we can deal with it. So as long as it's creating a program or creating some kind of expenditure, it can be addressed.
And Steve Terrell, have you been following this issue, and are you aware of any legislation?
I have followed the issue. I believe there are some other bills, and I'll be honest, I haven't really looked into the content of the bills, but I think it will be discussed freely in the legislature during the session. I don't know what will happen.
And there were a lot of meetings in the interim with health oversight. I think the Health Oversight Committee, and it was discussed extremely intensely during the summer. And I was told lots of different things, but it was heavily
there's a behavioral health subcommittee too.
Yeah. That was the one.
Both those, and the health oversight. There were lots of discussions, you're right, over the summer.
Now, another piece of legislation that has been pre-filed is Senator Scherer's Senate Joint Resolution 6, proposing to amend Article 2 of the Constitution to read, "Marriage, which is a right in this state, shall consist only of the union of one man and one woman." Same-sex marriage in New Mexico became legal statewide through the New Mexico Supreme Court's ruling on December 19th. And the marriage statute is gender neutral. Tell me, some people might have seen, okay, well, that issue is settled then. The Supreme Court has ruled on it. Tell me, Senator Moores, what are you hearing about Senator Scherer's piece of legislation?
I've been wondering when we're going to get to some big issues here, gay marriage, legalized marijuana, and some of the other issues that are all over the country. I would like that decision to be made by the voters. I would like the constitutional amendment be sent to the voters for their final approval. And I think that's what I support his piece of legislation, because I think the voters need to finally decide on this issue. We had five Supreme Court justices decide this, and I think it's a big enough issue. It should go to the voters. And either way they vote, it's up to them.
I totally disagree. I think the issue is settled.
And that's what the governor said, too. I asked her at a press conference for her budget if she can be pushing Senator Scherer's amendment. She said it's the law of the land. The Supreme Court has spoken, and she's not going to be spending a whole lot of time on that. I don't see the bill getting much further than it has in the past, or the constitutional amendment. I don't see it getting much further than it has in the past 13 sessions I've covered.
It would struggle to get out of the Senate, would it not? Isn't the Senate, what's the ratio, 27 to 15 Democrats to Republicans or something around that? So wouldn't it struggle to even get out of the state Senate to get over to the House?
I think that's a debate we need to have.
Okay. I think we struggle to get out of committee.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Melissa from Albuquerque. Good morning, Melissa.
I am really interested in education, but I want us to always think beyond just K through 12. I'm very much in favor of using a tiny amount of our permanent fund to fully fund early childhood education. We have a lot of kids around the state who are on wait lists for the very good early childhood education programs that we have, and they need to be expanded. And we all know that those early childhood years are crucial to later educational development, and all the money we spend on K through 12 will go further if we invest in kids and families early on, and we have the money. I mean, if we can just have a tiny amount in the permanent fund, we can fully fund our early childhood education program. So I'm hoping that all of our senators and representatives will get behind that. So I'd love some comments on that.
All right, Melissa, thanks so much for your call this morning. Representative Trujillo, you'd like to talk about that.
This is an issue that's really close to my heart. In my previous life, I was a strong proponent of trying to take money out of the school land grant permanent fund to ensure out of the percentage of the percent that we're doing right now. It's 5.5 right now, and I think it's supposed to go down to 5.0 in 2016. The reality is that it's going to phase out. The issue for me is we need to invest in early education. We have $13 billion in both funds, land grant permanent fund, and I forget the name of the other one. But the reality is that that we need it. It's people are concerned about the future of kids. We've had this fund forever, and those people that started it talked about the future of kids. The future's now. We need to invest in them right now.
Wasn't this discussed last year in depth?
Yes.
So, Senator Morse, where are you on this issue, please?
Earlier childhood programs have proven to work. They do work, and we've invested a lot of money into them, and we continue to invest a lot of money into them. We have raised in the last three fiscal years by 75% what we're spending on these programs through our general fund, including in the budget proposal this year, $35 million more. I think where the debate is how we're paying for it. I oppose raiding the permanent fund to continue to pay for it, but this is money and good programs that we are investing in. We're going to put $35 million more if we get this budget passed this year in early childhood programs. What I have a huge concern is the permanent fund is supposed to be permanent, and right now we're at 5.5 distribution out of that, 5.5%, which doesn't sound like a lot. That's a lot of money. And if in your budgets and your 401ks and everything else you have at home, you're taking 5.5% out of your retirement account. In this case, it's not our retirement. It's our grandkids' retirement account. Then you add cost of living, 1.5 to 3%. So we're now talking about a rate of return just to break even between 8 and 7%. I don't know about your 401ks over the last 10 years, but mine have not grown at 7 to 8%. So what we're actually doing is even though we have this corpus of money, we're diminishing the value by not putting in more money into this account. We have diverted all the money we're supposed to be sending it to this account. Last year, we sent $84 to this account because politicians have been taking this money and spending it elsewhere, not put it into this savings account for our grandchildren. So early childhood programs work, and they've proven to work, and they have some very good success. How we're paying for them, I believe we should be paying for it out of the general fund, and we have done that. We've increased it by 75% over the last 3 years, and we're proposing another 35%. So I think that's the way to go. So the argument is how we're paying for good programs, and raiding the permanent fund is not the prudent way to do it.
No, I know one argument I've heard would be even in a household, sometimes you go to your savings account when you feel you're at an emergency situation in order to build for the future. Do you buy that argument?
And that's why we are investing heavily in these programs. We're spending over, I think the proposal is for $20 million that we'll be spending in the program for early childhood programs this coming year. And again, $35 million more in 1 year is a lot of investment that we're making in these programs. And that's on top of the huge investment we've made since 2012 budget year. So what we're talking about is increasing this funding significantly through the general fund as opposed to going through the permanent fund.
And Steve Terrell, you want to, from the New Mexican, you want to add something to this?
Oh, this is my personal state representative, Jim Trujillo, is going to be introducing this as a constitutional amendment, I believe. And I'm not optimistic about it getting through the Senate Finance Committee. Senator John Arthur Smith basically feels the same way that Senator Moores does it, not to take any more out of the distribution of the permanent fund.
You know, the figures that I saw just recently show that out of that $13 billion, in 2016, we will have, if we continue the way we're doing, we'll have lost 500, and I don't think it's a loss. The revenue, the fund will have lost $548 million. In 2026, it's supposed to be like $2.6 billion. The reality, though, it's an investment in our kids. Just a few years ago, during the crash, that money sat there after we fought. It was called the Rainy Day Fund. We fought and fought for some use of that money, and instead of investing in our kids, they let it disappear into thin air because of the investments they had made in Wall Street. I think that is just offensive, and I'd rather see that money invested in our early childhood programs in the state than let it sit there and take the risk that Wall Street is going to see something. I'd rather see it invested than sitting there doing nothing.
That money is actually permanent, supposed to be permanent, and it's in our Constitution to be permanent. And the money comes from taxes we excise on extractive industries, oil and gas, copper, uranium back in the day. Those resources are not going to be here forever. They are finite. We will run out of gas, pumping gas out. It might be in 50 years or 100 years, but there's only so much gas and oil in our ground. The forefathers, the people who wrote the Constitution, and forefathers and foremothers designed that to be permanent for a reason. They know that the oil and gas is going to run out. They know the copper was going to run out, and they wanted that resource not just to be spent today, but for the future and permanently for the children in future years.
Well, you can hear that music underneath, and it means we're at our wrap-up time. Steve Terrell from the New Mexican, what are your hopes for this session as a journalist?
As a journalist, I hope there's lots of interesting stories and lots of good debate like we had this morning.
And I think we've seen a good window into ideological differences here. Senator Moores, your hope for this session?
I think we're going to have a good, productive session. I think our differences are not that far apart. I know the journalists want to fight, and they report on fights, but I don't think we're that far apart right now.
Okay, and Representative Trujillo?
I agree, and I have a lot of respect for Senator Moores and his Republican colleagues, as I do my Democratic colleagues. I'd love to see us move New Mexico forward.
As we all would. Thanks to our guests, State Representative Christine Trujillo, State Senator Mark Moores, and journalist Steve Terrell of the Santa Fe New Mexican for making themselves available to our listeners. And thanks to our callers for helping to develop our discussion today. Apologies to anyone we were unable to speak with. Thanks to our engineer, Jefferson White, our assistant producer, Andy Lyman, and Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Call-In Show on KUNM, news and music that connect from the University of New Mexico.